Hello, welcome to Math for Knitters. This is episode number 23, and in order to be as confusing as possible, it is also number 21 in the Fibonacci sequence. Now, up to now, I've been trying to follow the sequence pretty, I guess the word I would use would be literally, and I had been trying to come up with a pattern or a technique that specifically had the number 21 in it, and I couldn't do it. So instead, I'm looking at it as, in the US, it is the drinking age, the legal drinking age. And so for a lot of people, it's considered kind of a landmark year when you're kind of more of an adult. Of course, you don't act like one, but It's kind of a big year, so I guess it's appropriate that it's happening, that this show is coming up on the same time as I'm making big changes to the website of the show. And I know that some people don't like when podcasters talk about the nuts and bolts of podcasting, but it's just become such a big deal that I feel like I really need to. I've known for a while that some people are having trouble downloading the show either directly or through the feed or both. And I've been really trying to come up with a way to make it better and more accessible. And so I am experimenting with using Mac's iWeb software to make the feed. And I put up the very first show on Thursday, and I thought, well, or I don't know if it was Thursday, but sometime. And I've already gotten feedback from someone that it doesn't work for them. And so I'm really annoyed about that. I just want the thing to work, and I'm really tired of it not working for everyone. And I'm really sorry if you're someone who is having a hard time with it. But what I've decided to do for now is, okay, the iWeb software, making a link in the software is much easier than in Blogspot, in my opinion. Adding a photo is much easier, in my opinion. The only problem is that particular way that that site publishes only has so much web space and only has so much traffic ability, as opposed to the way that I've been doing it, which is supposedly unlimited in both those respects. If you're someone for whom the show has always worked, don't worry, nothing is changing for you. And if you're someone who has had problems or is having problems, please refer to the other site, and I will have that linked in the show notes. And those are still at math4knitters, that's the number 4.blogspot.com. All right, so I had kind of an up and down week. On Monday, I think it was, my laptop died. The hard drive failed, and I got really upset about it. Although I am thankful that it happened after my graduate thesis was due, so it didn't screw that up. That's all done. But I was still really irritated that my beautiful little computer wasn't working right, and so I waited and cried a little, and then on Friday I took it into the shop and it started right up like nothing happened. And I said, well, just swap it out anyway. So I got a new hard drive, so I have a lot more space, which is nice. And also on that same day, my solace was that my listeners last month had given me a fairly large amount of money, about $50 for books. So I got to go book shopping, which made me feel a lot better. So I went and picked up a couple of volumes, and I had also bought a book for myself in the interim, just because I can't help myself. And I'm going to be reviewing those in the weeks to come. And also, in going through my old episodes to put them on the new website, I am discovering all of the places where I said I would do things and didn't do them, like make a little short row toe with pictures to tell you exactly what to do, which I think I did in episode 4, which was a long time ago. So part of why I'm kind of behind in the new episodes is I stopped this afternoon and actually made a little toe and photographed it and put that all together in the show. So that's that up there for you. And right now, it's only on the new site. It isn't on the old site, but I am going to add that. Let me put that on my to-do list. Oh, that's my chair squeaking. Sorry. Let's see, add photos. So hopefully I can get everything up and nice looking and descriptive enough for everyone. If anyone wants to make a particular request at something that they feel wasn't illustrated well enough in an earlier show, now is the time to tell me, because that's what I'm doing. So all the way up to episode 4 is on the new site, although I have already heard from someone that it didn't work for them, and I'm really, really upset about that. But anyway, one of the lovely books I got this week is called Knitting Vintage Socks, New Twists on Classic Patterns. It's by Nancy Bush. And I was really attracted to this book in the first place because I love Interweave Press. I love their layout. I love their instructions. I love their little diagrams. I love everything about their books. And the only reason I hadn't bought this book already is that I am not really a big sock knitter. I'm not. And I think maybe I will be after I try a couple more out of this book. And also I have some sock yarn laying around now, which I didn't have before. But I read it really carefully yesterday while I was waiting for my turkey bones to boil for my soup. So I'm just going to talk to you from my notes. Basically, it's one of the things I really like about it is the way it's bound. It has a spiral binding with a hardcover on the top, so it won't get tangled in your yarn, but it also stays open the way you want it to be when you're working from it. So it's really nice. And I also like it that Nancy Bush acknowledges her photographer in the acknowledgements page, and I don't see that a lot, and it makes me happy because I'm a photographer, and the photos in the book are all lovely and inspiring. And the book is also interspersed with illustrations from Weldon's Practical Needlework, with its stockings series, which began in 1886. And basically, I don't know if you've heard anything about this book, but basically it is patterns from that Weldon's Practical Needlework reinterpreted for modern yarns and modern knitters. And very, very cool for me to see something like the new sock that's been knit in the modern, nice new yarns, you know, and then an illustration of the original sock. And it's really cool to see how little sock knitting has actually changed in all that time. And also, if you read the introduction and the text of the book carefully, you will see her approach to using someone else's pattern and her own common sense to turn out what she wants to knit. And I really think that is kind of the crux of this show and of my knitting philosophy, is that in the end, you can use someone else's work as a starting point and then make it your own. And I really hope that I've encouraged you all to do that. So basically, there's also a good little section about the history of the magazine and knitting in England in general, and she relies heavily on Richard Rutt's History of Hand Knitting, which is a fantastic book. And if you don't own it, and if you can't afford it, go to the library and get it, because it's just a wonderful book. But it seems fairly in line with that, so that's quite good. Also, just general advice on sock knitting, and maybe the reason I'm not a big sock knitter is because it seems like every pair of socks I make has something go wrong. I run out of yarn, or, you know, it doesn't fit right, or it's too big, or it's too small, or this stupid thing won't stay up. And I'm in the process right now of finishing some socks and also starting to fix some socks that I had made before without enough ribbing, so they fall down. And it's that kind of a question, like how do I prevent the looseness in between the needles? How do I make sure the thing is going to fit me? How do I pick my colors? How do I pick my yarn? How do I pick my needle size? And those sorts of things that really stop me from being a big sock knitter. I'm becoming a little more confident now. And in fact, yesterday I wore my very cozy worsted weight merino knee-high socks in the house just so I could stay warm. And I felt very nice. They're just a spiral knit sock. Actually, there's a sock in the book which is very similar. They're called, she calls them bed socks or sleeping socks. And that's, so I have a little more confidence now, but I'm still just not sure about certain things. And so I really like her descriptive, somewhat chatty style of introducing each pattern. And it's all, of course, it's all very well laid out and very well organized, which I like. Okay, also, she talks about four heels and six different toes, so you could try all these different styles. And then she starts the book with four simple ribbed socks. And in fact, the socks I'm finishing right now are ribbed, and I hope that means they won't fall down. Because there's nothing I hate more than socks that fall down. So, and then starting on page 34 with the patterns, there's actually a little timeline at the bottom of the page with an arrow that shows when that pattern was first published. So it was really cool to see that your so that this sock pattern was printed at the same time as the first electric sewing machine was being made. So I just got a big kick out of that. Also, don't be, only thing that kind of fooled me at first is don't be fooled by the names of the socks. A lot of the socks are named like child's sock for this, child's sock for that, child's first sock, but they're really a woman's size, like a small woman's size, or even big enough for me. I wear a size 8 shoe in US. And so when you're looking for a sock to knit for yourself or for someone else, I really encourage you to skip the title altogether and look at the shoe size that she gives you in the notes. There are some actual infant socks in the book, but there are way more women's socks. And there's also quite a few socks for men, which I think will make our male knitters happy and also the people who knit for men. So that's good. And I like also that she explains how she's altered the pattern to fit her sensibility or her choices. Also, I just have to say there is some a baby pattern called the baby's boot can, I believe, and it's just darling. I cannot wait to make these. And also, real ladies' stockings with garters that go all the way up the leg, which I think is fantastic. And she says it would be great for people who, or do period dressing or do historical reenactment. But I also think it would just be neat just to have stockings. But that's me. Also, she has socks with clocks, and they at first I thought they were duplicate stitch, but they're not. They're really knit into the pattern, which I thought was kind of fun. And of course, a great glossary of terms in the back, and a bibliography, and everything you would want in a very fine knitting book. And I can't wait to do some of the patterns. I will post a link to one of the places you can buy the book online. Although I do encourage you to go to your local yarn shop and see if you can find it there. Also, I haven't looked to see if there are any errata online yet, but I will look, and if there are any, then I will link to those too. Because I know how frustrating it is to get into a pattern and then realize that there's errata that you didn't know about. And now your dishcloth is far too short to actually be useful. Just an example from my own life. So that's it. Hopefully, after now, I'm going to stop saying that I hope things will settle down because that seems to create trouble for me. So I'm just going to say that I am so grateful and thankful to you guys for being there. And I am going to make a real effort to make sure that the show comes out more regularly and that I managed to get enough content. I am going to stop the Fibonacci sequence pretty soon because I think we're getting to numbers that I don't find especially useful. And it was really cool when it was 2, 3, 5, and 8, and even 13, but now I think I may have hit the logical limit for that series. So I'm going to have to come up with some other common thread to keep me brainstorming and keep me going with the show. But as always, thank you so much for listening, and I hope everything goes well for you this week, and happy knitting!